أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening in the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. We began to discuss the issue of tawakkul last night, something which is very important in each and every one of our lives. Many times we face very difficult times, times where we feel there is no way out of the situation that we're in. Sometimes we get stuck like that. And we talked about an example, and there's plenty of them, that people reach a certain stage in their life where they feel there's actually no way forward and they just want to end their lives. Sometimes things like that happen. But also I'd like to add tonight that sometimes we get stuck in situations and circumstances that hesitation is killing us. Okay. Fear of what is going to be awaiting us in the future doesn't allow us to move forward. We've checked everything out. We've looked at the circumstances. We've looked at the job, for example. We've looked at if it's a case of a brother or a sister looking to get married, they look and they see the person, the family. Things look okay, but the fear of what is going to happen in the future, how this is going to unfold, is one that doesn't allow the person to move forward. Okay. I've had many instances of this. Personally and others, people talking to me about their circumstances. One of the keys that will allow us to move forward, allow us to have that confidence to move forward, is tawakkul. We mentioned the hadith yesterday, and maybe we can read a bit more of it in this session. But this is what we have with regards to tawakkul. But why do we not get involved with tawakkul? Why is it so difficult for us to have this tawakkul? Let me first reiterate maybe and explain in different words what tawakkul actually is. Tawakkul, very simply put out, is that you leave everything to God to do. Okay, you give it to Him, and He is supposed to be taking care of it. Like, for example, you have investment companies, mutual funds, that people give their money to, and you allow them to invest. You're not getting involved with what they're going to be investing it in. You give it to them, they take care of it. They may either have some profits for you after a while, or you may have some losses. People put their money in the 401k accounts, and then sometimes it takes a dip. People lose some of their funds because of this, because of the way they deal with it. The way we give that over, hand that money, our funds to them to take care of, that is the same idea as tawakkul. The difference is that in tawakkul with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're giving Him everything and saying, we are relying on You to do this for us. Not that I'm doing it and I want You to help me. This is one idea that we have maybe. We're seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I feel like I'm doing it. Okay. I'm putting the thought in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just barely helping, you know, or somewhat helping. But the idea of tawakkul is fully handing over everything to Him and saying, You please do it. That's what tawakkul actually is. Why do a lot of people not have that tawakkul the way we're supposed to? What happens? Why don't we feel we want to hand everything over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him to take care of? One reason is because we don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as part of this world. We don't see God involved in what I am doing, what other people are doing. We don't see that. Honestly, most of us, most of the believers, most of the Muslims do not see God as part of their day-to-day lives. Waking up in the morning, having breakfast, going to school, going to work, coming back, relaxing, enjoying ourselves, being with family, being with friends, driving. We don't consider God as part of that. We kind of maybe on the side try to remember Him, but He's not part of this which is taking place right now. Okay, He's a separate entity. I'm living my life, things are happening, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't part of this. This is why the verse of the Holy Quran says, وَمَا أَمَنَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of the believers are mushrik. Most of us are mushrik. Okay. Most of us have shirk. Because we think that a lot of other things are involved with our lives. It is my mom or my dad or my spouse or my child or my co-worker or my boss or my teacher, my professor, whatever it may be, that are actually doing things for me. This is the way I see it. I see my car as taking me from one place to the other. I don't see God in any of this. Whereas the reality of the matter is, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually the only independent being involved with any of this which is happening. He's the one that's actually in control. He makes things happen, and if He wants, nothing will happen. Not only if He wants, nothing will happen, if He doesn't want it, it will not happen. The verses of the Holy Quran are very clear on this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will something, it will not happen, no matter what you do. Okay. And sometimes we don't get this straight in our heads, and we get really, really frustrated sometimes. I've personally dealt with this. Sometimes you want to do something, and it's such a simple thing, and no matter how much you try, it just doesn't happen. It's sometimes such a routine thing as well, and just wondering, why doesn't the damn thing work? Okay, at this point when I want it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want it, it's not going to work. Okay. I have plenty of examples in my own life. Once I had... I moved from upstairs where my floor is in Qom. We moved downstairs because I was having some stuff fixed upstairs. So we were downstairs. And I brought my checkbook down. I put it in the outer zipper of my suitcase. And I wanted to make sure it's there. And I try to keep it in my mind that, okay, it's there. All right, I put it there. So that when I need it, I make sure it doesn't get lost. I don't want to leave it upstairs. Workers are going to go up there. I want to bring it here. I want to make sure I know where it is. So I put it in the outer zipper. And I get on with life and I start doing things. A couple weeks later, I have to go and sign up my daughter for next school year. And I have to have my checkbook with me. So I'm like, okay, I go find where it is. I'm like, where did I put it? Okay. It's my memory. I did it. Okay. It's my own memory. It's right here. I mean, supposedly it's in our brain. It's not. It's actually with the soul. It has to do with something with the brain as well. But anyway, it's my soul. I have done it. But when I want access to my own memory, I don't have control over it. I kept looking. I went upstairs. Maybe I put it in this room. Maybe I put it in the other room. A few days, I just went back and forth. The time was running out. I'm just going crazy here. I don't want to call my friends up to get a check from them. I went there and said, okay, can we do something about this? I don't have my checkbook. Like, no, it doesn't work like that. You have to have a couple of checks that you're going to have to give us. So I ended up calling up one of my friends and humiliating myself and telling, can I please have a couple of checks from you? Okay. And alhamdulillah, the brother was kind enough. I got it from him. God knows how many times I went to that suitcase. I just took everything out, looked it all up, all of the clothes, everything. Okay. I just didn't check that one pocket on the outside. 50 times I checked it. But I didn't check that one pocket. We went upstairs. My wife was emptying out the suitcase. Like, guess what? I found the checkbook. Okay. He doesn't want it. It's not going to happen. No matter what you do. No matter what you do. And if he wants it to happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make it happen. Even if it's against all odds. And all of us, brothers and sisters, have come across circumstances in our lives that are similar to that. Understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. And the very, very basic things that run in our lives. Very, very basic things. Every breath that I take. These are not just things to say, okay, thank you God for giving me the ability. But once I have the ability, I am doing it. No, every breath I take, it's God willing it. Otherwise, it's going to get stuck right here. I'm not going to be able to do it. The night of Quds, you saw the brothers were talking about this brother who used to do spoken word poetry. And was really good at it as well. He was a pretty good artist, a very good religious brother, the Ali Mu'addil, may Allah bless his soul. He passed away during this last year. He passed away. 21 years of age, had a heart attack. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that heart not to work properly, it's not going to work. Any second that he wants it not to work, it's not going to work. Every breath we take, every hand we move, every word we say. Sometimes I know the subject that I want to talk about. I know it inside out. I'm not tired. But the words just don't come out. I remember Ajay Tehrani, a scholar that used to be in New York. He said, I went on the minbar. And he's a lecturer, a very well-known lecturer. He's a pretty good lecturer too. There's a lot of people listening to this man. He said, I went up on the pulpit. And I wanted to begin. He said, I couldn't remember Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I couldn't remember that. I was just sitting there, I couldn't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want even something as simple as that, is not going to happen. Okay, we have to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as part of our lives. Learn from the example of Dhul Qarnayn in the Holy Quran. Okay, some of us, we really have to work on these examples mentioned in the Holy Quran, learn from them. Dhul Qarnayn has done many good things. The stories of Dhul Qarnayn are found in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ Dhul Qarnayn. Okay, there's a few questions. They ask him about Dhul Qarnayn, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about him and who he was. He wasn't even a prophet, but he was a very pious man. He went in one of his journeys, he went to this area where these people were being attacked by the Mongols, according to some of the exegesis, the tafasir that we have of the Holy Quran. They say that it was the Mongols attacking. Al-Ya'juj wa-Ma'juj. Inna Ya'juj wa-Ma'juj. The verses of the Holy Quran talk about that. Apparently they were a Mongol tribe or whatever. So these people asked this man that they would be willing to pay him to create something, a barrier that would prevent these guys from attacking. He said, no, I don't want your funds, I don't want your money, I'll do this. What I have and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for me is sufficient. So he built something. He built Sadda, a dam, is referred to in the Holy Quran, like a great wall or something. It's not the Great Wall of China, it's somewhere else. Once he was done, he finished building that, and it was really a masterpiece. As soon as he's done, he says, هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. Doesn't get to him. He sees this, the work that is supposedly or apparently something that he has done, He sees that this is itself rahmatun min Rabbi. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to see that when we say the dhikr, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. This is a dhikr that is mentioned. Especially we're told to say this when we do something good and people start patting us on the back and saying good job and so on and so forth. You start feeling good about what you have done. Remember this line, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. There is no power, there is no might, no effort can be put in anything except through Allah. Allah gives it. Allah allows me to sit here and speak. Allah is giving me the power right now, currently, to say these words. Otherwise, none of it would be said. None of it would be happening. Okay. So one reason that we don't have this tawakkul is because the iman that we have, the faith that we have about God, is not the true picture of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in His relationship with this world. We got to try to correct that. That's one idea I feel is very important, very lacking. The other idea is sometimes we neglect or we don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being powerful enough to do it. Now, if I put it out like this, all right, no one would say, yeah, I think that's how it is. No one's going to say, I really think that God doesn't have the power to do something. We're like, al-ayadu billah, God forbid. But when you really look down deep, that's what's in there. Okay. If I really believe that God does have everything to do with everything that happens in this world, and He can take care of me, why wouldn't I give Him the keys? I think I can take care of myself better than He. There's a very nice part of that hadith. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This part of it says, أَيُؤَمِّلُ غَيْرِي فِي الشَّدَائِدِ وَالشَّدَائِدُ بِيَدِي. Does my servant have hope that somebody else is going to help them in their difficulties, and difficulties themselves are in my hands? It's under my control, God is saying. It's under my control. And you go to all these other people to try to resolve the problem, why don't you come to me? Why don't you go to God? Why don't you ask Him? Why don't you speak to Him? Why don't you leave it to Him? وَيَرْجُ غَيْرِ. This was really nice when I read this hadith. It says, يَرْجُ غَيْرِ. My believer, my servant, has hope in someone else. وَيَقْرَعُ بِالْفِكْرِ بَابَ غَيْرِ. See, this is really nice. It says, with his thoughts, in his thoughts, this is a spiritual process. It doesn't really manifest physically too much. Even someone who is doing tawakkul still goes and asks people for help. It's not like when you do tawakkul, you don't go and talk to people. It's not like you do tawakkul and you don't go to work. No, you do go to work. It's not like you do tawakkul and you don't think of what's the way out. No, you do think. When you consider all of that as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see Him taking care of it. You're asking Him, He puts that thought in your mind. You see it coming from God. As I said, I'm trying to think where that checkbook is. I just can't figure it out. It's there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to put in my thought to go and check that one zipper and find the book. It didn't happen. If He doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. You could be the most creative person on the face of the earth. God gives you that. But the second He doesn't want it, He wants you to have it, He takes it out. And you can't think of something that's very, very easy to think of. Okay. So something in the mind, he says, يَقْرَعُ بِالْفِكْرِ بَابَ غَيْرِ. In his thought, he's constantly knocking on somebody else's door. He's thinking that, oh, I'll go to this person, he can probably help me on this. I'll go to this other person, he can probably help me on this. Let me try this, let me try that. Right. Why don't you knock on God's door and feel that He has everything under control? وَبِيَدِي مَفَاتِيحُ الْأَبْوَابِ. I have the keys to all the gates Anything that you want to do, I have the keys. وَهِيَ مُغْلَقَةً. Those doors are locked. وَبَابِي مَفْتُوحٌ لِمَنْ دَعَانِي. My door is open to whomever calls upon me. Alright? It's as simple as that, brothers and sisters. You know the effect of tawakkul, if we have it? People who have the tawakkul live such comfortable lives, okay? Even if their pockets are completely empty and they don't have anything, but they have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll feel like they have everything. And people who don't have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if their bank accounts are overloaded with money, they still feel like they don't have much. Okay, this is a reality. They still feel like they have that fear. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring that tranquility to the heart. This hadith, one of the ahadith that I was looking at, was really interesting. It said somebody came and asked Imam al-Sadiq, I believe, salamullah alayhi, about tawakkul. And the Imam, he wanted to ask a question from the Imam about tawakkul. And the Imam told him, he knew that this person is a mutawakkil, and obviously, meaning he's good with tawakkul, he already has some of that. He's a pious person. So he wants to give him more than what he is expecting. And the Imam knows that this person is going to be asking a question about tawakkul. The Imam has a coin. Apparently, I don't really know what it would be referred to here, but if I want to do the math, it's something like, like a quarter. Okay. Well, actually, not a quarter. Something like a less than a quarter, maybe a dime. Okay. He got a dime in his pocket, and that's the only money the Imam has. Okay. That's the only money that he has. He says, "Wait, don't ask your question." He doesn't ask the question. A poor person is walking by. Apparently, according to the hadith, I didn't see any sign of this individual asking the Imam for any money. The Imam just takes that money that he has, the only money he has with him right there, and pays it. Now his money, his pockets and everything, it's all empty. He doesn't have anything. And then after that person leaves, after that the poor person leaves with the money, the Imam tells the person, "Now ask your question." And he says, "Well, I'll ask my question, but can you tell me why you told me to delay it? I knew you already knew the answer. So why did you tell me to delay it? Why was that all about?" He said, "I didn't want to talk about tawakkul and my pockets have some money in it." Okay. I didn't want to talk about that with something that, in a sense, in my words, this is not in the hadith in this way, something there to kind of rely on, that you have trust in that, even if it's a small amount of money. I want to get rid of all of that. You want to talk about tawakkul, reliance only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the idea is, if we have tawakkul, brothers and sisters, so much comfort, so much ease of mind, peace of mind. Because we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God's not going to finish. My money is. God's not going to finish though. My boss may fire me. God's not going to fire me though. I'm His creation. There is no worry with that if we have that tawakkul. Understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might, His power, His ability, is one of the items that we have to constantly remind ourselves. Because as I said, if we explicitly just put it out like that and say, "Do you believe that God can really, or doesn't have the ability to help you?" Like, no, al-ayyadu, astaghfirullah. What are you saying, brother? Of course He has the power. But that's only in words. We don't really feel that way. There's a huge difference between saying and feeling. No, the other night we were talking about the verse that says "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Some people say that sabir, a patient person, is the person that when they tell them about their relative passing away, They say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's not about saying those words. If you say it 50 times, but you don't really mean it, you don't really feel it, you don't really see it, that's not it. We have to feel it. If a person feels God's might, then automatically and naturally they're going to give Him everything. You take care of it. I don't have any power. I don't have any might. I can't do anything. My boss can't do anything. My parents can't do anything. You're the one that can do everything, if we understand it. That's why so many verses of the Holy Quran talk about God's power. Read those verses, pause a bit. Pause and think. Consider that. What is this trying to say? Don't just read through it, read through the translation, just let it go by. No, just let it penetrate the heart. We have one of the verses, I think it's mentioned in a few verses of the Holy Quran. The idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that allows the ships to be able to travel in the sea, in the water. You know, these huge, gigantic metal objects on water, He's created this such that it can float on it. Today we have the idea of flying with planes. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's doing it. Have you imagined, has it ever occurred to you that what if suddenly gravity doesn't work anymore? Or what if the quality in the air that this plane is moving in, or the different parts of the plane itself, they don't function suddenly out of nowhere. They just stop functioning the way they do. It's all in God's hand. They can stop functioning at any moment. What's going to happen? The verse of the Holy Quran says, if God makes all your water salty, who's going to give you fresh water? Have you ever thought of that? If He takes away your oxygen, who's going to give you oxygen? Just because it's coming day in and day out, you just take it for granted that it's going to come. No, God is giving it to us. He has the power. Just, I don't know if you've ever looked at the sky and just feel like, oh my God, we are so tiny. If all of this wants to just crash into the earth, it's a very scary feeling. If you don't feel like God is, yeah, because we have God, even if He does it, I'm not worried because He's in control. He wouldn't do it to harm me. He's got the power for all of that. It's good to try to remember that. The example of the plane is for a reason. I mentioned it. I don't know if you guys have been in this experience of being in a flight and then suddenly things are not going that well anymore. Okay. I've been flying since I was a child. I think the first flight was probably when I was 8 months old. Oh, I don't remember that, of course. But ever since then, back and forth, long flights. I've been on many of them. And I never had any fear of flying. It was just normal. You just walk into the plane and you fly. There's nothing scary about it. Okay. Until the first time I came to Sabah. First time I came in 04, on the way back from Amsterdam to Tehran, the flight was going very smoothly. We're getting close to Tehran. And there's many flights, you have turbulence, and you know, that's understandable. I've been in many flights that had that, no big deal. But as we're going, they're going for the descent, and suddenly it just dropped. Okay, and sometimes you feel the drop, but you know, it's barely there. Some people start saying things and it's funny after a couple of seconds, but when it takes a bit longer and you don't feel it coming to an end, you start holding your breath. When is this going to finish? You're like, okay, we're gone. Okay, and then they caught it. I don't know what happened there. But after that, I get onto planes, I just hold on to those handles like, Bismillah, Ya Allah. Okay. Just think about it. It's in God's hands. Okay, He's got the power to keep it up there. Any second He doesn't want, it's gone. All right. We take it for granted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it in this way. It's air molecules. It's If you jump in the air, you're not going to be able to float. Metal, this object is created with metal, but the system is such that it's able to float in the air, fly in the air. It's huge. I don't know if you've seen the latest version, the A380, okay, the Airbus A380. It's huge, gigantic, if you've seen that plane. It flies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this possible. It doesn't do it on its own. He has the power at any moment for this. All those galaxies just destroy the earth. It can happen. He's got the power to do all of that. And He's got the power to do everything. And He is giving us all of the good that we have. He's got the power to hold all of this system. Just look at it. The way it's working and functioning. And He doesn't have the ability to find me a spouse, for example. Like, what are we thinking? He doesn't have the ability to find me a job, provide for me. Those huge, gigantic wells in the oceans, He provides sustenance for them. He doesn't have the ability to provide it for me. Just because I don't see any way out doesn't mean that God doesn't have any means. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has plenty of means. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give Him the key. Say, okay, I'm doing my share, but even what I am doing, you're doing. Alhamdulillah, hada rahmatun min Rabbi. Okay. And the last thing that I feel we have lacked, or we were lacking, we need to develop our understanding regarding it, is divine wisdom. Okay. Sometimes, in other words, He has the ability to do it, most definitely. He is involved with everything. But sometimes we have this question, would He do what I want Him to do? Okay. Sometimes, I'll give this example, it's a little different, but we get the idea. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Sometimes people have this, culture, I can say, of making istikhara. Okay. And then they say, Mawlana, can you make an istikhara for me? I'm like, okay, give me that Qur'an. I open it up. I'm like, well, there's benefit, there's this, that, the other. Inshallah, it's good. Or inshallah, it's not going to work out for you. Try to look for something else. And then they're like, could you do another istikhara for me? I'm like, okay, open it up, explain it to them. Could you do another one? And then when you talk to them, they're trying to figure out if through those verses, they're going to be able to do what they want. Okay. They want to see if I'm trying to get this job. Okay, I want to try to get this business going. And I want to make loads of money. I want to see if this, if I put my money in this company, if I invest in Apple, for example, or in Google, or one of these companies, is that going to give me the profit that I want or not? I'm trying to open up the Quran and try to come on, look, brother or sister. This is not fortune telling. Okay, this is not telling you what's going to happen in the future. This is telling you what's good for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-wise, is saying that this is good for you. Okay. What does good for me mean? People make istikharas for marriage sometimes. Okay. Which is not a bad thing if it's done appropriately. Okay. Some people don't want to do research. They just want to do istikhara. Or they do all the research, then they do an istikhara. It's like bad. Sorry. It doesn't work like that, you know. If you've done your research and you've seen the person, the brother or the sister is a good brother or a sister, you don't do an istikhara at that point. Now everything is going well, like, okay, we got to do an istikhara. Because of the istikhara, we're not going to do this. No, that's not the time to do an istikhara. If you have doubts, if you have serious doubts, then maybe that's a reason to do istikhara. Sometimes people do istikhara beforehand. And people have done istikhara, and then the istikhara turns out good to proceed, move forward, get married. They get married, a couple years down the line, divorce, trouble, problems, and then it ends in divorce. Like, what happened? Wasn't the istikhara good? So yeah, the istikhara was good. But maybe it was good for you to go through that experience. All you ask is that, is this good for me? God said, yes, it's good for you. But it didn't say that you're going to be able to be with this sister or with this brother to the end of your life. That's not what it said. It's good for you. It was good for you to go through that experience. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His wisdom. We think we're the wise guy. We know what's going on. We know what's good for us. And we want... And tawakkul to us means, okay, I want to put my trust in God and I'm going to get the results that I want. Not necessarily. Trusting in God means trusting in Him with the result as well, whatever He wants. And we have that in hadith. If you trust in God, then that means you're going to get the result that He desires and you're going to be pleased with that, what He wants. Sometimes the reason why we don't want to give it to Him, and I've seen people like this, is because we're not sure if He's actually going to handle it the way we want it. You say the salawat, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of child-parent relationship. You know, a 7-year-old or even younger, 5-6-year-old son or daughter of ours trying to tell us what's right and what's wrong. Okay, what's best for them. I don't know if you've had it, especially if you have a son or a daughter that is very talkative. Okay. And they'll come and try to reason for you and explain to you why them watching a cartoon now is the right thing for them. Okay. Or playing this game is such a good idea. Or buying this game is such a good idea. Okay. And then you're trying to explain to them, they keep going back and forth like, well, because of this and because of that. And they're not giving up. Us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same way. Like, I think I need to do this. And I... that if I don't get to that result, then I feel like, no, there's a loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise. We have in dua al-iftitah that sometimes we ask for something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give it to us at that moment and we complain. Whereas the dua says, وَلَعَلَّذِي أَبْطَعَنِّي هُوَ خَيْرٌ لِي لِعِلْمِكَ بِعَاقِبَةِ الْأُمُورِ. Says maybe, that maybe is definitely, not just maybe. There's a reason why the Imam puts it in those words, maybe. What He is not giving me is actually good for me. If we look back and see. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept away from me was for my own benefit and is for my own benefit. And everything that He has given me is for my own benefit. He knows what's best for me and what's not as good for me. Okay. Recite a salawat, please. So many times it happens that we start out with something. Our intention is to carry out certain tasks and get to a certain conclusion. It doesn't move down that way. It turns into something completely different. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have that tawakkul, then whatever comes our way is going to be to our benefit. He's the all-wise. How can we compare our wisdom and what we have identified as the best thing to do, actually the best thing? Sometimes we get involved with the process of, for the younger brothers and sisters, people get involved with marriage. They find someone that they think that this is perfect for me. And they talk and they try everything to get married. And then after a while it doesn't work out. And they get really depressed about it. I tell them, brother, sister, don't worry about it. It was to your benefit. Thank God it didn't work out. Especially many of them, they talk to me about the case. I'm scratching my head thinking, how did you even think that this is a good case for you? Just because you saw the person, you're attracted to them. You're blinded to the realities about the person. They're not a good match for you. And God didn't let it happen. Alhamdulillah, He didn't let it happen. Thank God He didn't let it happen. I was being stubborn and wanting something very harmful for myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want it to happen. If we understand God's relationship with what we do, and we truly allow His might, His izzah, to penetrate our heart, to feel that He is capable and He is all wise, we would be a lot more involved with tawakkul. And then after tawakkul, the amount of iman that would penetrate our hearts is even going to be more than that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate our hearts with the light of iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase the love of the Ahlul Bayt in our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see Him and to be able to trust in Him and to have tawakkul as part of our souls. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to allow us to be His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. We ask Him to forgive us all of our sins. These last remaining nights of Ramadan, we ask Him if we've already not been forgiven of all our sins, all our past, that He forgives us on this night. We ask Him to help us make up for all our shortcomings that we've had in the past. We ask Him to grant all the believers their hajat, their needs. And we ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah.